Concentrated, the podcast about all of the stuff that we find cool and interesting as nerds of color. I'm your host, Maria, and I am joined by my wonderful co-host, Courtney.
Hi.
Eric.
Courtney was surprised. Like, she didn't expect you to call her name. Like, she wasn't here and you couldn't see her.
Right. Like, she's not part of the cast.
She was like,
right?
What? Huh? Surprise? Huh?
I was surprised that I was first.
Yeah, apparently Maria likes to mix it up and just like shake it up like a dice, like,
yeah. Manera. Yeah. You know, every once in a while you got to get. Oh, also, y'all, the lovely Manera is here.
I am here. Hi.
It's like a game where the teacher calls you when you don't look like you're paying attention. You're like, huh? What?
No. I don't like that.
No, I'm here.
It was 11, right? The answer is 11. Like, what?
Like when you're reading.
This is English.
Your teacher makes you pick up the reading and you're like, I don't know where you were.
Yeah. I have no idea where you are.
What? Yikes. Page 69? Nice.
Nice.
Oh, goodness.
Very much.
All right. Well, guys, today we're going to be giving you our review of Marvel's last movie offering in Phase 4, and technically the last Marvel movie for this year, Black Panther Wakanda Forever. But before we get into it, because Lord knows there's a lot to say, Eric is going to go through some news.
Wakanda Forever.
It's the whisper for me.
Mm-hmm.
I had to. That's how you say it respectfully.
It is. Okay.
Yeah, unfortunately, I got three deaths. They all happened this week. Some are important. Some are sad. Some are not that important. So I'm going to go with the least important. That would be Gallagher, the comedian known for smashing things with a hammer on stage. Yeah,
he y'all is know dead. Who this is?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Do you not know who Gallagher? You are pretty young, but like,
have you never heard of this man?
Seen like even a parody of Gallagher where it's just a guy smashing fruit on stage?
Not gonna hold you. Thought it was Gilligan's Island, and no, I said, "Oh no, not Gilligan. He's dead."
Yeah, Gilligan from Gilligan's Island.
Yeah, he's been dead.
I'm so sorry. Is the skipper dead? You think he's dead?
Probably. Yeah.
Yes, he died.
Is anyone still alive? Ginger, Marianne.
I think most of them are dead too.
Mr. Howell is definitely dead because he was like 1 foot in the grave on the island.
Oh my god!
What are we doing? Right?
What are we doing right now? We're not.
Gilligan.
We're not talking about Gilligan's. You two can talk about Gilligan's
Island.
Okay, I'm sorry. Off air.
But yes, no, I don't know this man. I've never heard of him. I'm so
he does.
Sorry.
I do know he does the watermelon smash.
Yeah, he smashes watermelons. I thought he was already dead
on his head.
So
same.
No,
with
he
a mallet.
Puts him on a table and he makes like a really stupid joke. He's like, oh ha ha ha, the economy, and then he smashes it. And the
white
whole
people
point,
go up for it. They
yeah,
love
they
him.
They literally. Mm-hmm. Dress in like smocks.
Smocks, yeah.
To like get smashed with fruit parts.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Courtney, to answer your question, Ginger is the only one that's still alive from the
Ginge.
Yep,
Ginger is still kicking.
All the others are dead.
Who knew being
Marianne
provocative
died.
Would keep you alive?
Right.
Marianne died in 2020.
Oh, did she?
Yep. But yeah, everyone else.
Long gone.
Not long gone, but like they've been gone for some time.
Long enough gone. How about that?
Not as being sad because we didn't know that Marianne was dead. We were like, oh, Marianne.
Just keep it moving. God, I'm gonna keep story.
I care more about the cast of Gilligan's Island than I do about fucking Gallagher.
Yeah, I saw that and I was like, wait, wasn't he problematic? He feels problematic.
He was, yeah. Okay. He kind of got into some very bigoted jokes, closer to his death.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not too upset about it.
No, I'm good.
The only thing that is upsetting, they say apparently he died of like cancer that he's had for a while. So that is, you know, upsetting for his family, but at the same time, you know, maybe don't be an old sexist piece of shit. Moving along. Tragically, we just got this news today, like within the last couple hours. MMA fighter and actor Anthony Rumble Johnson has died suddenly at 38. And
wait,
clearly
what?
This is news to Maria. Yeah, it just came out like two hours ago. No cause of death so far, but he was found dead at 38.
Oh no.
Yeah. Very sad.
Oh, I'm sad.
Yeah. 38.
Fuck.
I know.
It's a bummer. Yeah, he's been in a couple of movies. If you've seen Warrior, he basically plays himself in Warrior.
He's actually a nice guy. Like, he actually, like, cared about the community. And, like, there's a lot of, like, shitbird MMA fighters, and he was not one of them. Like, that's... Oh, damn.
Yeah. So that's all a bummer. Right. And, yeah, like I said, there's no... Right now, because it's still very fresh, there's no cause of death, but...
I think it's still too early, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It'll probably take a couple days for them to do, like, a toxicology or something like that. But, yeah, that's a bummer. And then finally, the biggest bummer of the week, Kevin Conroy. If you don't know the name, he famously has played the voice of Batman since the early 90s, starting with Batman the Animated Series in 1992, I want to say, and has literally played him up until very recently, like this year.
He's the only real Batman, guys.
Yeah,
like,
he is.
Everybody else has portrayed him. He is Batman.
He is the Batman.
I cried.
Yeah, that is his voice is iconic. He's played Batman for over 30 years, and everyone and their mother has come out with some type of tribute to him. He is also kind of an icon in the LGBT community because he was famously gay, and he came out, and you know, a lot of people were like, "Oh, okay, well, you know, their Batman is gay," and that's how they see it. And for people like me, that is the voice that I hear in my head when I read Batman comics. Yep. It's Kevin Conroy, and he's also voiced him in several games and animated movies, and even most recently he was able to finally play him in live action as a version of Bruce Wayne when they did the CW Crisis on Infinite Earths crossover event where he plays a version of Bruce Wayne. So that is about as iconic as you can get outside of him appearing in one of the movies. And honestly, the movies aren't good enough for him to be in. So he is dead at 66 after a very short battle with cancer that he was kind of private about. And everyone and their mother has come out with tributes, from Phil Lamar, who played John Stewart on the Justice League, to all of his other Justice League actors. And of course, the one that broke everyone's heart was Mark Hamill, who famously has played the Joker just as long as he has played Batman. And he, you know, basically referred to him as a brother, and that, you know, he was the only Batman for him. And he even mentioned that when Kevin Conroy decided to retire from the role, that he would also retire from the role of the Joker because he didn't feel like anyone else could, you know, kind of match up to him. They were literally, they were like brothers, and they've been doing this role together for like 30 years. So it is incredibly heartbreaking, especially if you're a fan of those series.
I felt really bad providing you with that news.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, I you know, I'm almost 40 years old, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. My childhood is officially dead now.
Mm-hmm. Did you say Batman the Animated Series?
Yes. Also, the Batman the Mask of the Phantasm, which is, in my opinion, still to this day, the best Batman movie. I don't care about any of the live-action version. Michael Keaton can burn in hell for all I care. If it's Michael Keaton or Kevin Conroy, it's Kevin Conroy all day.
Meanwhile, Michael Keaton was like,
sorry, go fuck
literally
off.
Just sitting what about here. Just sitting here, sir.
Yeah, sorry. Eat a dick, Beetlejuice. It's Kevin Conroy all day. I also don't really like Beetlejuice. But yeah, that is very tragic news. And somebody check on Frank Welker and Peter Cullen. They are both very old. If you don't know those names, they have basically voiced every cartoon from the 80s and 90s. Most famously, they are Optimus Prime and Megatron from the Transformers, but they have been in everything. So they're still alive, and when they die, my childhood is officially dead. So
it'll be officially gone, yeah.
Yep. Those are the voices in my head, and they're all dying. So.
All right, damn. Eric, can we get away from death and get to some not death news? This is depressing.
Yes.
It's already sad. You made it worse.
We found out that we are getting a movie based on the 70s and 80s action series, The Fall Guy, starring Ryan Gosling as The Fall Guy. Not just him, but it's also going to be featuring Emily Blunt, Aaron Taylor Johnson, Stephanie Hugh, and Winston Duke, and of course, the latest cast member, Hannah Waddingham from Game of Thrones and Ted Lasso has joined the cast. The very tall blonde lady, mm-hmm. who is the shame nun.
I'm familiar.
Yeah. But she is the latest one to join the cast as of today.
For the record, nothing about this excites me. I watched The Fall Guys in the 80s. It was okay. I didn't have a choice because our dad watched the show and he loved it. Stop remaking shit from the 80s and just come up with some original shit. I don't need a 2020s take on a show that's literally 40 years old.
Now, unfortunately, I feel like that about some stuff, but not everything. Sometimes I do want to relive that because apparently that's a symptom of ADHD, and that's why I watch the same things over and over again because I need consistency. I learned that on TikTok the other day. But sometimes I feel like maybe there's more story to tell and it just gets cut down in its prime. I don't know what the Fall Guys is. Never heard of it.
He's literally a stunt guy that like solves crimes.
Yeah.
Now I do love a good crime show. The Copaganda does work on me, unfortunately.
It's not a good crime show though. That's the whole point.
Copaganda does work on me. Like I'm in Law and Order. I too am a member of the Special Victims Unit.
In the 80s, it was Lee Majors who was the Fall Guy. And basically, never heard of him. He was a stuntman who kind of moonlights as a bounty hunter.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. No, that's the whole point.
That's it. Oh, okay. I thought there was going to be like a...
No.
Yeah.
But the upcoming movie will be directed by David Leitch, who recently did Bullet Train.
The train.
The thing about this is David Leitch was a stuntman and is now a director. So at least you'll have some
real authenticity. Life experience.
But again, Maria, I don't really feel like this needs to happen.
No.
Yeah. Moving along, we're gonna take a little peek.
Scumbag.
We're getting a little scummy. Hey, guess who's the latest to get some accusations? It's one Dick Tracy himself, Warren Beatty. He has been accused of coercing sex from a minor in 1973 in a new lawsuit.
Don't no shit it, because it was bound to happen. Yeah.
You think Annette's out there willingly like twiddling her fingers? Did she die too?
Annette Bening is still alive.
Okay.
Right.
But I feel like I have to be on edge with you guys because every day I feel like someone's alive and you guys are like actually dead. Marianne died from COVID complications. I had to go look it up.
Yeah, she did die from COVID complications, yep.
Which is really fucking sad.
I mean, she was very old, but
she was 82.
Yeah, they're kind of the people that will die of COVID. You know what I mean? The lawsuit alleges that.
Oh my god!
I mean, that's kind of their thing. It's the
not it's their thing.
It's their thing.
It's the plague of the boomers. The boomers are the ones that are the ones that are getting taken out. The lawsuit claims that the woman who filed it. That she met Warren Beatty on the set of a 1973 movie when she was 14 and he was about 35.
Yuck.
Yeah.
Not good.
And he did things like offering her car rides, offered to help her with her homework, repeatedly talked to her about losing her virginity.
No.
It's
no.
Over here. I don't like
no.
It.
Yeah, and
that literally
eventually,
just made my stomach turn.
Eventually, he used his fame and power to coerce her into sex acts for which she could not have given meaningful consent.
Okay. Yikes. Is he dead? Yikes.
No.
He is not dead.
Not dead. Alive.
No. Very much alive.
So, to jail you go.
Maybe.
It's but giving
he is a very
jail,
powerful sorry. Old white man, so mm-hmm. we'll see. Mm. So, yeah. Anyway, I'm going to... We're you know... Roll the windows back up. We're leaving Scumbag Alley.
Why were the windows down?
Because Courtney wanted to see. Courtney, get your head back in the car. We're leaving Scumbag Alley.
Like a puppy.
We're going to a nice place. And it's concerning what we're talking about today, which is Black Panther Wakanda Forever.
Okay.
And we got the news today, and that only just counts for Thursday through Saturday. We got the news that so far the movie has made $330 million globally, with 180 of that being domestic, which is redonkulous. That is a very good opening.
Period.
Yay.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to talk about the Atlanta airport, but you didn't.
No, I don't know what that, what are you talking about?
Oh, so at Atlanta airport, they have a gate, like a you know, like the airport has like gates and they have a Wakanda destination.
I saw that and I thought it was so really cute.
And yeah, they have like a Wakanda destination, and I think they have like themed drinks, and like I don't actually know what's set up there, but if you happen to be in the Atlanta Hartsfield Airport after you take that long ass tram, you should go over and try to find it because I think it's really cute. I'm gonna look when I go like next month and see if I can see it. Maybe it'll still be up.
I think this is a great segue.
You know how airplanes have gates. Bye. I'm just gonna go shoot myself.
Wait, what happened? What's she upset about now?
I don't know. You told her it was a good thing to bring up.
Yeah, I was like, that's a great segue. It was a great segue,
but my brain sometimes I just don't be remembering how to talk sometimes.
All right. Well, guys, if you've been listening to the podcast, you know that much like the rest of the world, we were heartbroken at the passing of Chadwick Boseman. And much like the world, we've been wondering, where do we go with the Black Panther franchise? Well, Thursday night, as a family, we found out. We went together. We were in that joint deep.
It was the edited version for me.
Self-edit. And then I'm like, wait, why am I self-editing? This is my podcast where I curse all the fucking time. We were in that bitch deep. Yeah. We were in there.
It was giving very much every day is Negro Day.
It really was. But, you know, before we get into this review, if you've never listened to how we review things, here's kind of how we do it. We give our overall thoughts. Normally we try to do that spoiler free. Also, shout out to the homies over at From the Canopy podcast, because they're doing a whole spoiler-free review, and I'm just wild. Like, Corey, wild. I love you. I don't know how you and Corny are pulling that one off, because there's no way I can talk about this movie without spoiling. So good for them. If you want to hear a spoiler-free version or a spoiler-free review, go check them out. But here, we're going to spoil the fuck out of it. So you need to be prepared for that. Normally, after we give our overall, we'll start spoiling it when we get into what we liked. Then we're going to talk a little bit about what could have been cut. We'll talk about everything that, you know, we thought went a little too long. And then we'll probably finish this out kind of talking about where we see the franchise going, since this is the end of Phase 4. And now we know some of the stuff that's coming in Phase 5 in general, but not necessarily for the Black Panther franchise. So we're going to get into all of this. If you really, 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 really don't want to be spoiled, just stick around for about a minute or two longer while we give our overall reactions, and then you should get the hell out of here. That's just kind of how it works. Did I miss anything?
Nope. I think you're good.
All right. So let's get into it. I feel like three of us saw the original Black Panther together. And this was the first time that we did it as the four of us with Courtney, which was a lot of fun. And Courtney brought one of my favorite people, her sister, with her. So that was amazing. So Courtney, we're going to start with you when we're talking about just kind of an overall reaction to the movie. What was that like for you?
In my head, I thought I had muted that. I'm so sorry. Secondly, I think I knew I was going to be sad, but I didn't think they would like make it so sad. Like, not in a bad way. Like, I don't think the sadness was bad or anything. I think that it was really detrimental to the story, but it also makes you see, like, just how much this cast is, like, family to each other. I don't 100% know what it means within, like, the grand scheme of, like, Marvel, but I think it was, like, a really great movie, and I think it speaks a lot to, like, grief and loss and, like, processing, like, those feelings and, like, the, like, timeline of like the grieving process and just about like, I hate to say it, but like hashtag family.
But nice. No, go ahead. I think you were gonna say something else.
No, I was about to start coughing.
Oh, okay. All right, so Eric, you're only still on one watch, right?
Yeah, no, I had a busy weekend.
All right, well, then we're going to go with you next because, you know, Nira, gold star student over here, I'm not even sure how many times she's already seen it. Oh, just twice? Okay, she's flashing me up the deuces.
My third's on Tuesday.
Right, I'm going to say, we know it's not stopping at two, though. We know. I would say, really, bitch? But anyway, Eric, what were your overall thoughts on the movie?
I thought it was great. I know some people might be scoffing at the fact that it's got a two hour and 40 minute runtime, but I don't feel like any of that is really wasted, because there is a lot going on. You're introducing so many new characters. You're introducing an entirely new species of people, and you're still trying to give, like, you lost a character, but you gained like four additional mm-hmm. ones in the Wakanda family, mm-hmm. And again, more spoilers later on that, but. Like, I feel like everyone got their own little, like, even M'Baku got a chance to, like,
to shine.
He got a chance to chew up some scenery, which is great, because I think Winston Duke had a lot of fun playing this character. But he also got to, you know, a couple of chances to prove his character and be a little bit more heartfelt, which I think is another great thing for him.
He's evolved.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think everyone had a great time. Well, not a great time, because, again, they were making this movie under the complete heartbreak of losing their main star. Which a lot of them, in most of the interviews, that's what they've been talking about, is how they made this movie as both a tribute and kind of like a processing of grief. So yeah, I think they did everything great, and I was very happy with not just everything in the movie wise, but like the representation of like Mesoamericans and, you know, Namor and his people in a whole, and how mm-hmm. the general theme of both Black Panther movies is fuck the white man. So. I'm with that all day.
Cry.
All right. Well, Manira, now that you've had your second watch.
Well, not just the white man, also the Spaniards.
Just colonizers in general.
Yeah, colonizers in general.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But technically Spaniards are white. But anyway,
yeah.
Manira, let's find out from you. What's your overall reaction?
I loved it. It was a lot more heartbreaking than I thought it was going to be, but also in a very beautiful way. I feel like, to Courtney's question of, I don't know how it centers into this phase. I think it is the phase. I think coming out of it, to myself, when you asked me, Maria, how did you like the movie? I wasn't processing the movie. I was processing phase four. And to me, I think that this and Shang-Chi and now WandaVision and Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness cleared up what phase four was supposed to be. And it was supposed to be grief and vengeance and mourning. And I really appreciate that. I think that they, with those movies, especially this one capping that off, I think they mm-hmm. did a really good job with those movies mm-hmm. doing that. Because we felt, after we came out of them, a lot of them we felt, oof, that was a lot, right? Mm-hmm. And if you remember, Maria, with me and your husband, we both said during, when we came out of Shang-Chi, is phase four just going to be grief? Because I think we're going to be okay with that. Like, that was really good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, bitch, that's exactly what it is. And we lost sight of that. But I think with this, it kind of full circled it in a very beautiful way from start to finish. When we'll get into it. But I love this movie. Only, and to your point, I'm only going to see it three times because I cannot come out of a movie puffy-faced again. I did it again with my son and my fiance, and I can only do it again with my mom and my sister. That is it. I will wait mm-hmm. until it comes on Disney Plus to cry at the certain points that I cry at. So, but yeah. I loved it.
I think that you guys have hit most of what I would say collectively. I think the thing that I would add, which was probably my second biggest reaction beyond the same reactions that you guys had, because this is a very emotional movie, especially if you care about these characters. If you've never seen Black Panther, if you've never seen the original one, or you just don't care about Black Panther, then yeah, this may not be emotional for you. or you're just a garbage person with no soul. But for the rest of us, there's no way that you don't watch this and you don't, it doesn't elicit an emotional response. So you guys have covered that. Here is the thing for me. Fucking thank you, Marvel. Thank you. Because for 5 seconds, and if you guys remember, I was talking about this when we did our Black Adam review, I was really, really, really concerned that we would end 2022 with DC winning the cinematic experience between DC and Marvel. Because for me, personally, and we talked about this last time, so I'm just kind of recapping here, but I thought that the Batman was a much better movie than either one of the movies that came out earlier this year in Thor Ragnarok. Or, I mean, not the Ragnarok, because that was fucking fantastic. Thor Love and Thunder or WandaVision on the big screen. Because I refuse to call it Doctor Strange 2. That's never changing. It wasn't a fucking Doctor Strange movie. It was WandaVision. WandaVision XL. That's what that was. And, you know, funny enough, Black Adam at least was definitely better than Love and Thunder. And arguably just as good, if not better, than WandaVision XL. So for me, I was...
Now that's for you. For you, Paige. Right, right. For real.
For real, for real. So I did... I remember driving to the theater with my husband and one of my sons. And before we even got to my son to pick him up, my husband looks at me and he was like, I really am scared. I need this to be as good as I want it to be. And I looked at him and I'm like, fucking same. Because if you guys fuck up Black Panther, like, I don't even know what I would do. Like, there would have been fucking trash cans on fire or something, right?
I was like, I feel like this proved two things. One, this is what happens when you give the right creative, kind of free reign.
Full control, yep.
And two, which is the thing that I was the most worried about because he hadn't done it yet, Ryan Coogler can do a sequel.
Yes.
So far, this is the only movie that the only sequel that he has directed and written. Like Creed 2, he had some writing and producing on there, but he didn't direct it, so it's not 100% his vision. This is his vision, much like the first one. So I was very worried going in because some directors, they can't get the sophomore effort out and they shit the bed a little bit.
And arguably, I like this one better than the first one.
Kind of like Taika Waititi with Thor.
Yep.
His second one was nowhere near as good as the first.
It was trash.
And that's because no one checked him. He needed to be checked.
Listen, you're being nice because we love Taika, but it was fucking trash. Let's call it what it is. Basura. That's what
I wouldn't call it trash. I would say it is unsorted recycling. Like, someone needs to go in there and be like, this can shouldn't be in here with the bottles. This needs to be sorted. You're throwing all the things into the one blue bin, and now, you know, someone else has to do the work later. You could have sorted this beforehand, and we could have gotten everything made into something better than it needed to be, and they didn't. Thor Ragnarok was, you know, someone had properly sorted, so now everything is being made into something great, and it improved the rest of the MCU. Love and Thunder, unfortunately, did not.
And so same with
Doctor Strange, which... to call it WandaVision XL is kind of doing a disservice because WandaVision as a show is much better than what we got as the conclusion for WandaVision, which would have been Multiverse of Madness.
You know what? That is actually a really good point. You're right. It is not XL because
it didn't
the show
do
is better.
Either. It didn't do either character the justice that they needed.
You know what it felt like? It felt like
had a great time. Loved it.
You know what it felt like? It felt like if they took and did WandaVision on ice, where they like make a cheesy version of it. That's what Doctor Strange 2 was.
For you, right?
Just saying.
Yeah, I enjoyed Doctor Strange a lot more than I did Thor: Love and Thunder.
Oh, yeah.
But that said, it is not perfect. Like I said, it was more of a disservice to both characters.
We didn't say it was perfect, but what I got
was better than Thor: Love and Thunder.
I mean, but in fairness, I love Doctor Strange and you love Wanda. So of course you loved it because listen, and I also if it wasn't called Doctor Strange, I probably would have enjoyed it a lot more than I did.
what is still Doctor Strange's movie. I feel like if you were going,
not
really, okay. Because Maria, no one else sees multiple versions.
Guys,
of
we're not doing this. Today. We're not doing this.
Maria didn't jump in when we were talking, so let Maria finish her thought. Go ahead, Maria.
Thank you. All I'm saying is that I appreciated the fact that Marvel did not shit the bed, as I felt like they had done earlier this year, and especially they didn't do it with such a beloved cast. Because it wasn't, obviously we all love Chadwick, but when we walked out of that movie, we loved the cast. We loved everybody that was involved. And when he passed, it was horrible for all of us. And we also understood how horrible it had to be for the cast. So for them to come back and put together this beautiful movie and for everything to be on point and also kind of restore my faith in the theater MCU, not necessarily the shows, because I've been pretty happy with most of the shows, but my concern has been, again, like, are we getting these great shows, which now means we get shit movies? Like, what's going on here? So my faith has been restored. I will not doubt Papa Kevin again. Thank you. It was,
It also proved that Papa Kevin could get in there and rein some people in when they're out there talking spicy in these streets and remind them how much of a bag they're fucking up. Because you see, some people fell in line and put on their suits and went to work.
Yeah, we haven't even gotten there yet.
All right. So, like, that, guys? So that's now. That
basically the spoiler vision, the spoiler free. See, she got me saying one.
Sorry.
Right, the spoiler free review is over. Go and see it. It's amazing. I don't think if you were into Black Panther, this is going to make you even more, and you're probably going to come out there. Come out of there at least crying, or if not, you know, if you're too man to cry, you might shed a thug tear. But like, shut up, cry, feel emotions.
Listen, you'll shed a thug tear, or you'll do like my husband did, who shed a couple of tears, and like him saying was, "Fucking Ryan Coogler, this bullshit got me in here. Fuck him."
Feeling some great, kind of way.
Right? That's how art works. If art doesn't affect you emotionally, then you probably weren't into it.
Yeah.
Enjoy your emotions, but yeah, go see it. That is the spoiler-free review. Also, Namor is amazing, and
typically in the comics,
I hate the character.
I didn't want to talk about that in the spoiler free part because
no, I just mean just his general performance. Yeah.
Because I've got fucking notes on that part. So.
Homeboy can like get it.
Fully.
Listen,
when we get to a point, I'm going to tell you when the movie would have ended if I was a certain person.
it would have been over. Listen, if it's the part that I'm thinking of, I too would have been like,
"No, what part? I'm over.
I am Ariel. Bye.
See ya. Bye.
See ya."
All right. So with that, guys, Eric's going to insert some music here to give you a couple of seconds to stop listening.
Not that fucking sad Rihanna song.
No, fuck that song. No. Don't do that.
Rihanna song.
Hold on, but that Mayan hip hop was kind of slow.
Yes,
I was like, okay, I don't know. Yeah. I was looking at my husband
like, "Hey,
was
Haitian.
You know what they're
like,
saying,
it was
don't
in
you?"
French, which that was exciting for me. I was like, ooh.
We'll see.
Period.
There'll be all something. Right. So
again, leave right now if you don't want spoilers, because once we start spoiling the fuck out of this, it's your own goddamn fault.
Yeah, sure.
Yep,
for sure.
Because I want to talk about how Homeboy could like get it.
That right, might need to be its own
shut
episode.
Up. Okay, we're back. You can talk again.
Lift me up. Oh, I do kind of miss like I know it wasn't that type of movie, but I remember like coming out for All the Stars and I was like, yeah, like All the Stars. Like it wasn't that type of party, but like, man,
no,
like
the,
I think about it and I'm just like,
for the
man,
first
that was a banger.
One was very much curated. And I think I believe it was Kendrick Lamar that like
it was.
Put
the I don't think they did that with this one.
I wish they had, because honestly, like that album to me is still like a vibe.
That's yeah. That's
I listen
the
to
last,
it all the time.
That's
all
the last like movie that I can think of recently. Because like back in the 90s, when you came out with a movie, even if it was a shit movie, like you would have
it had
people,
a banging soundtrack.
Yeah, you would have people put together amazing soundtracks. Like think of movies like Spawn and The Matrix and Judgment Night, where you're like, why is this amazing song in this terrible movie soundtrack? All right,
listen,
I guess
Ladies Night back then wasted on CDs. Martin Lawrence.
Yeah. All right. Martin Lawrence and Tim Roth, or not Tim Roth? Was it Tim Roth? No, not Tim.
I don't
Roth.
Remember.
You know,
no, I was just
going to
say while he figures out. Oh,
they're broken up. They're broken up.
Right. Yeah,
they're broken up.
Yeah, but the movie was trash. I was like, why is this banger on this terrible movie?
Hey, Eric, enough about the fucking colonizers. All right, we're not here to talk about them.
Hey, shut up.
No, but we should be because full disclosure. Why are the black and brown people fighting when the white people are being the racist they've ever fucking been? Like, the fuck? The fuck? I mean, it's the Wakandans. It's gotta be. Just say it's the black people. Just say that. Just say that, please.
When little baby Namor came out the water in his little trunks.
Oh my
and he
God,
was like,
he was
he was like, I would burn the white man. Kids. And I was like, yeah, you burn the white man. I don't care about these honkies.
Oh my God, why was he the cutest little thing that ever cuted around with his little face and his little trunks?
He was an angry little, like, I will burn. Okay, I'm trying to bury my mother. You will all die.
So much.
You will call me Namor.
I like that Eric makes him sound like Zorro.
That's how he has a very thick accent, and I'm glad they didn't like make him tone down his accent.
And I want that accent whispering in my ear
as he does quite inappropriate things. All right, so here's when the movie would have ended for me.
Is it when we go? Is it when we get the outfit and we start swimming down?
No, listen, it's on the beach when he turns his head and gets real close to Ramonda. I turned to my fiance in this one because the first one I was like on pins and needles. I'd already seen it. I turned to my fiance and I said, and right there I would have kissed him in the mouth. And that is when the movie would have been over. Right there. And he's like, would you shut up? And I'm like, no.
I mean, listen,
I would have open mouth kissed him. Wow.
That would have been a good stopping point. But I think I'm with Courtney.
When he gives
you had a whole ass outfit made and did your come on my water carpet and magic ride and let me show you my beautiful ass underwater kingdom.
That was really cute. And I thought he was going to propose.
It felt romantic.
Let's do an alliance. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's do an alliance. You
I
know.
Said, yeah. Pinky promise. Let's do it.
Let's do an alliance.
I liked where we were going.
I did like that. I did like the show me your world. That was really sweet.
All those brown people. I was ready to hump his little wings right there.
That's fair.
He's fine.
Beautiful. Have you seen him and Lupita like just like salsa dance? Like,
oh, I
no,
want
they're
them
not
to
salsa
be
dancing. They're doing.
Yeah, because remember Lupita speaks fluent Spanish. Mm-hmm.
She is
Instagram
a Mexican. She is a proud Mexican woman.
Yeah,
she's Afro Latina.
Yeah. I'll send it to you.
Yes,
listen.
Send it to
Marvel,
me.
Marvel is playing it up. Marvel's like, "Hey, guess what?
Speak Spanish in every interview. Come on,
right? Listen, look at these guys. How about this?
I'm like Manera on this one. I'm okay with those Barbies kissing, or I could be a Barbie and to kiss me. I'm looking at my husband afterwards, like, my guy, you're like half Mexican. Why are you not like?
Do you sound like this? Is
right,
this you?
Right, baby? What's going on here? What's going on here? You Mayan? You can't tinoco to me? Because I need that. I need
Madam.
To hear you talk like him.
Madam.
Hey.
In my diet.
You're cutting it close.
I need it.
Madam.
Whew. All right.
It got a little.
Racial.
Stop it. Do not act like you don't want to hear the funny way Mexicans pronounce their X's in your ear from that man.
Hey, that's not my place to be.
It's not
I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Yeah. I want to be there. I want to go to there. Underwater, on top of water, dry land.
All right, hey, go to your Instagram. Somebody, Eric, we've talked a lot. You tell us about your...
Yeah, what did you like? Because we clearly like Namor. What did you like?
Namor. That's his name.
They call me, my enemies call me Namor.
No. Also, can we? Oh,
no love,
when
bitch.
You broke it down.
Period. I said, no love, nigga.
Get out of here.
I don't want your love. I want everything but that love.
I want the smoke.
Everything but.
I see the surface was burned.
Maria, go to your Instagram, Eric.
I'm going right now.
Eric,
now.
Please
shut
up. Please don't. Get the picture accent. Yeah. What did you like?
No. There's a little guy that goes to my gym that looks exactly like him. And I was like, if you don't know who this guy is, I need you to cosplay as Namor. You look exactly like him.
Did you run up on him and be like, hey. You're a cosplayer? You should.
You should. This is the only one you should do. You look exactly like him.
Here you go.
Anyway, enjoy your workout.
Crying. Stop it right now.
No, I really enjoyed the look. And as just much like the first movie, the costume design is ridiculous. Like, they put so much effort into it. They put so much, like, work into it. Mm-hmm. And even the costume designer now has mentioned that, like, she had to weigh everything down so that they wouldn't float under away, because they're, you know, a lot of the movie is legit underwater.
Everybody's swimming. Everybody.
Yeah. It's amazing. There's a lot of Easter eggs that I'm sure we'll get into. I was also happy that, like, and he hasn't mentioned it very much at all since the movie came out, and even before. Like, he mentioned that he's in the movie, but Trevor Noah is back as the voice of the AI Griot.
Yeah. And
he didn't really mention it. I know he's in the middle of, like, his farewell tour on The Daily Show, but he had a much bigger role in this one because he was in the first movie. Only
I didn't
in a
know
few
this at all. Meneer told me.
Yeah, he does the voice of the AI of, like, of Shuri's basically her Jarvis. But yeah, I was surprised to hear him back and have him doing so much.
Yeah, he was very active.
Yeah, I mentioned before. M'Baku being back and him just chewing when he comes in eating that carrot. I was like, this
walking
man,
like a nigger,
they gave him a
up.
Carrot and he was like, I'm going to eat this carrot and chew it the whole scene. I do not care. You still take these words from a child.
Right.
It was like, how fresh is that carrot? And they just
so
reestablished
fresh.
how much, you know, how vegetarian his people mm-hmm. are. Mm-hmm. I was like, good for you guys. You guys are still, you're getting your protein in because all you do is are super swole. But like, yeah, you're getting your vegetable protein.
I liked him. I liked him being a counsel for
Shuri.
Shuri. I like that he, because they seem like evenly matched.
They play off of each other really, really well.
Yes. And you can tell that, like, he knows something's up, but it's not, we're not going to push it. Like, we're just going to have her learn her lesson, but we're going to be there if she needs us to be there. I like their dynamic.
It's like
lot.
He stepped into, like, an older brother role for her. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can tell in the way that he, like, interacts with her. He no longer sees her as just, like, a child. He sees her as, like, I don't want to say a person, but, like, the next, like, ruler
like a
of
peer.
Like
yes.
A peer. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. She sees him. Yeah. He sees her like
they're
a peer.
Equals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about what
Very
I like.
So. Eric, were you done?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I had plenty more, but again.
Okay, you got me. I'm so sorry.
I could go on
fuck
for
your thoughts.
She really did.
I'm so sorry.
I could go on for a while because, like I said, there's very little in this movie that I did not enjoy. But yeah, like I really enjoyed M'Baku being back. I enjoyed him having a larger role. And unfortunately, I feel like that's a consequence of the star, you know, of Chadwick being gone. Everyone got a bit of a larger role. I also really enjoyed, what's his name?
Everett Ross?
No, I could have, honestly, I could have done without his complete storyline. But less about that. I'll get to that when we get to the things that I think. I enjoyed, I believe her name is Dominique Thorne, who plays Riri Williams.
Love her.
Yes.
Love her.
She did a really good job. Yeah. Maybe tone down the Chicago thing a little bit. Like, we get it. You're from Chicago. But
that's
I was
how people who
her...
are from Chicago act.
Chicago.
That is
them.
She's
like, you can come to Chicago. We'll catch a Bulls game.
It's the way...
And then maybe get into some gang violence
same...
and eat some Chicago pizza.
But listen to me. That's the way that, like, New Yorkers act
they
about
are.
New York.
Yeah.
Like, that's
yeah.
the way that people who are Atlanta are Chicago. About Atlanta. People who are from, like, Florida,
everyone
that's how they act.
That I've
and I'm just like, this
ever
is
spot met from
on.
Chicago.
Yes,
I don't
anyone
care
that's
enough
ever
about
met
my city to be like, yeah, come to Maryland, no. we'll get some crabs.
That's because you're from Upper Marlboro. Bye.
I'm from all over. I don't care about this place. This is just where I live. I also did enjoy the biggest cameo of the movie was, of course, Killmonger. And again,
see, I wanted
things.
To talk about Bay, but that's fine.
You can talk about it too. I'm just saying, just because I like something doesn't mean now you can't like it.
I can't. That's like when we go to a restaurant and somebody gets the same meal. You're not supposed to do that.
Oh no, you ordered the chicken strips, so I can't.
I can't get
I guess I gotta get the calamari.
That's exactly how it is.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed him coming back and like surprising no one that he came back because Michael B. Jordan. I also thought it was weird that
crickets.
He's like, I knew
he would be back in some form. The biggest rumor was like, oh my god, he's gonna be the new Black Panther because he died in Wakanda. I was like, no, they proved that like you died in Wakanda, so you're like your spirit is there, but
you're not coming back.
Yeah, you're not coming back in the live action. I was expecting when they were like, oh, I know who we can call or I know what we can do. They were going to go into a lab and they were going to have his body. Like,
yes, that's what I thought.
Like they did Bucky. And I was like, no, I'm glad you did not do this.
That's too easy, I think. I think that's a
lazy way.
Yeah,
those weren't his
wishes. That's like a lazy way.
That's what we wanted.
Yeah, I'd say his wishes were literally to not be buried there. But there's plenty of other things. I also enjoy that they corrected the timeline, which explains, you know, the post-credit scene as to why... Mm-hmm. You know, little boy was so
certain people
because she had been gone. Nakia had been gone for 6 years. So that explains it. Like right after the events of the first Black Panther movie before Infinity War, she left. So
they had gotten busy.
And I also enjoy, I know it's the beginning of the movie and everyone got super duper sad. I enjoyed that they mentioned that he was sick, but they don't tell you what he was sick from. And that like, that is, like they don't go back to it, and even when they refer to it in the news, they just refer to it as like a mystery illness, and they don't
like. That
was
like, disrespectful as fuck.
Yeah, I'm glad that they don't show. They didn't try to CG him into anything. They were just like, no, we're only going to use the stock footage, and not to mention the Marvel intro that was entirely
stop
Chadwick Boseman.
Please don't tore
me up. Woo.
Yeah.
Because it was fucking silent. Like,
yeah.
Silent. And the theater was silent. Like, nobody was talking. It still does that. Like, fuck. Mm-hmm. No.
I thought something was wrong with it. And then I was like, nothing's wrong with
that
it. This is on purpose.
They knew what they were doing. Special. Yeah.
It was beautiful.
It was.
But.
And I really like that, like, it started with the MCU appearances and then eventually ended with, like, his actual real life. Because you're like, yeah. He did die. He did play this character, but he was also a real person.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I think that.
Anyway, y'all go ahead now.
Fuck you.
Yeah, thanks, Eric. Everybody trying to keep from fucking crying here, and here you go.
So, Courtney,
tell us about those things.
Yeah. So, I basically spoiled myself like a year ago. When I, you know, how every year they have like somebody leaked a script. So, like, I was like, well, I want to see what's going to happen. So I went to see what was going to happen. Most of what they said was not true, except for the Michael B. Jordan. So like I knew.
Was it his old script? Was it? Because Ryan Coogler said he had to, like, once he died, he had to like scrap it. So was that his old script?
I don't know. It doesn't make any mention of like T'Challa, like in the script that I read. It just says that he's like gone. He's no longer like Wakanda's protector. That's it. Love Riri Williams. I love her. I'm so excited for this Ironheart series. I cannot wait. She has such good like comedic timing. Also, Michaela Cole, love her. Love her and her perfect bones. I'm obsessed with her. I want to be her. Also, you know what I like? Lesbians. I love when they put lesbians and stuff. And I was like, I got so excited. Me and my sister, I was like, I looked at her and I said, Lesbians. So exciting.
Yeah. I knew from the beginning, and I was just a little bit upset that they didn't like they are actual characters
fully
from the comics, and like they have a pretty big story in the, what is his name now? I can't remember his name, the writer. Ta-Nehisi Coates is run on Black Panther. He has a big story about them, and they didn't really touch on it at all. You get a little bit of that side eye glance at the very beginning, and then you get the confirmation at the end. And I was like, oh, okay, well, you could have given me 5 minutes of their story, but okay.
Do you think that we'll get more with the reveal of the outfits and stuff like that?
I don't know. Maybe. And I know they also are still talking about that series. So maybe they're they'll work it around the smaller characters like them. So maybe they'll get their big story in the series. So who knows?
What else did I like? Julia Louis-Dreyfus. I hate her, but I like to see her because I love her.
She eats the scenery like nobody's business.
She's the Veep, and I love her.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
I'm glad that they like cemented her role. Where like when they mentioned that we have a new director, I thought they were talking about SHIELD. Like no, they were talking about the CIA.
Yeah.
I quite enjoy Namor. I know I've made that abundantly clear on this app.
She enjoyed Namor.
No love for these hosts.
She's not alone. She's not alone.
But I feel like the casting was like really strong. I felt like the movie was long, but I don't feel like it felt long. Like, I knew time was going by, but like, I didn't feel like, oh, like, God, I wish they would have just cut blah, blah, blah. Like, it still felt like I still felt engaged. I'm very quick to fall asleep in a movie. Everybody kind of knows that about me.
It wasn't like Love and Thunder where I was like, you could have cut
so this much entire of this. Scene. Yeah,
you could have
cut
that joke. Like, yeah, no, nothing in this felt like it needed to be cut for time.
Yeah. The costuming, like I say it once, I'll say it again. The costuming, it does it for me. I so appreciate how much like detail goes into those things. And the music, I do wish that the playlist or like the soundtrack had been like a little more curated, but I appreciate that they found like Latin artists and like made sure to like pay the respect to like those cultures that they were showcasing. So those are all the things that I really liked.
So not to mention they got Rihanna out of semi-retirement to actually do something for once besides makeup and fashion.
Everybody knows babies are expensive. She got to be on that road.
No sleep.
All that money she makes, she needs.
Bus, club.
Right, she got to make that money.
Another bus.
Which plane, is great for us.
Train. No sleep.
Did you want to go, Maria, or you want me to go?
No, you go ahead.
I am surprised that nobody brought up the Queen Ramonda.
Because she made me sad.
She to me, and of course, Shuri. But I mean, I feel like that goes without saying. But she to me really embodied what it means to be going through grief and still, still persevering. And I really enjoyed every time that she was on the screen. Angela Bassett. I'm sad that we don't get her anymore as Queen Ramonda, but what we did get was just when she when she told, and I'm like really sad because when we were in the throne room and Okoye was like pleading her case and like nobody was saying anything, they were just like waiting because I don't know what they had heard Ramonda say at the beginning before Okoye even got in there, but they were just like, it's not looking good. And then she gave that fucking speech that we see in the trailer. I thought she was giving it to
me
white
too.
Folks. But no,
woof.
She gave it to her, and that one single tear and a Okoye single tear. I'm like, well, she's right. She didn't know if her kid is dead or not. I did enjoy
the fact that like the speech that she did give to white people was like the I'm not gonna be the ignorant loud black woman that you expect me to be. I'm gonna call you on all your bullshit. I'm gonna show you all the receipts, and then we're gonna leave. Fuck you, crackers.
Take your little white people back.
It was the it was the speaking in French for me that did
But I that scene, and then the scene where she's with Riri, and we see Namor, and I'm like, well, he's gonna maybe not. And then she's like, I can't swim, so I would have died a million times in this movie, but. Her saving Riri to Killmonger's point, like you opened your gates and she saved like she saved someone that she didn't have to save and she didn't know that little girl. Fuck, I'm just really sad that we lose her, but what she put on the screen, lovely. I know D'Angelo Bassett isn't dead, but I'm really sad that Queen Ramonda is
well, again, gone. It is Wakanda, and
I know
can have a vision quest
maybe, but oh god, Riri was lovely. I feel like I know her. She was very real. She was in Wakanda because, of course, a black person. Of course, Shuri can walk through MIT, whitest of whites, Boston, as my stepson said, and. Nobody would know her except for the little black girl would be like, fuck Shiri, oh my God, Princess Shiri, get the fuck in here. Like, of course. And mm-hmm. that was lovely. Nakia and just her, like, the way that Lupita kept her... The way that Lupita kept her, like, the secret, but you could see that she was also dealing with grief. Just the way that everyone was processing and dealing with their grief and mourning felt real and lived in and appreciated. And Letitia Wright, like, I know that we scolded her and we gave her a lot of guff, but I think she really held her own, if not propelled the story, because I believed her in her grief of not being able to save her brother with science, and then not believing in spirits, like believing in mortar, like the paper of science, and then having to believe in spirit and it being a spirit that she supposedly didn't want. But baby, like, Namor heard what you said and I heard what you said. You very much were calling on Killmonger. Like, I really enjoyed this movie. I enjoyed everybody that was in it. I enjoyed Everett Ross. I want to talk about, like, where we see him going and what that is about, but I don't want to take up too much more. So go ahead, Maria.
Yeah, no, I agree with everything you said. Look at this.
Look at us.
Right? I think I'm gonna take a different approach. As an Afro-Latina who has both African American blood, Latina blood flowing all through me, I have had to consistently navigate this world from a very peculiar place because I don't quite fit in on either side ever, right? Like, I fit in some, but not quite. I've never had the opportunity to see a superhero movie that I feel reflected me as a whole person. Ever. And the few times that we have gotten Latinx characters in the MCU, unfortunately, they've either been washed down, washed out, made much whiter than what they are, or they are insignificant at best. So I think that what I loved about this movie the most
was... Looking at you, America Chavez.
Right. Listen, I was trying to say it nicely, but because I'm not coming for the actress. And it's not her fault.
Again, yeah,
she's
got
to work with what
fault.
She's given.
That is
it's
the
not
fault
the
of
actress.
The
exactly. Exactly. A fucking one note ass character. But anyway, seeing the brown represented just as beautifully as the black in this movie had me feeling like for one of the first times that I went into a movie and while I didn't literally see myself, I could see and feel all the parts of who make me in this film. And I loved it. I love the care that Ryan Coogler took to represent that more Mayan culture, because it's not just Mesoamerican, because you can be Mesoamerican and be talking about Aztecs and other groups. It was distinctly Mayan, and he took such care with it that it's astounding and it's beautiful. Because unfortunately, what I have felt I've seen happen a lot.
That's him wanting to say thank you.
What I tend to see that happens a lot of times in movies where you have both black and brown characters, one story dominates, and then the other group in that story is usually not well represented. They're represented with one or two notes. there's no depth to the characters. And it goes both ways. It happens in Black movies when they have Latino characters in them, and it happens a lot of times in Latino movies when you have Black characters in them. This is one of the first times that I've seen where both sides were handled delicately, beautifully, and with care. And it's amazing because you can tell stories about other cultures and make them fascinating and make them relatable without stripping that culture down to a couple of just, you know, stereotypes or notes. And honestly, like, we can talk about everything else. That's the thing I loved about this movie the most.
I wanted to ask you, because I am not. I am African-American. So I didn't want to be like, they represented them really, because it's not me that they are representing. So I wanted to hear your take on it.
And yeah. No, absolutely. And the thing about it too is like literally, I'm not Mexican. Like my husband's half Mexican. I'm not Mexican, but I know enough about my Latinidad and understand the indigenous areas of our cultures and how they came to be, to know that what he did and the group that he picked and how he picked them and the way that it could not have been done better. He literally could not have done it any better. And it was just beautiful.
There was a lot of love poured
into so much love poured into both sides of it. And like, even taking, you know, the basic look of Namor as we know him as the submariner, right? Mm-hmm. And then adding on the Mesoamerican piece.
No, stop it.
It was you heard it,
but let her go.
What did I say?
You said submariner. It's supposed to be Submariner, baby. I was like, let her go. Listen, we know what she meant.
Listen, you know what I meant, and I haven't had dinner fucking with y'all, so I want a goddamn submarine, all right?
Everyone knows that Namor loves his submarine so much.
He loves his accent out of here.
I was doing fine until I looked up and I saw Eric, and I was like, okay, he heard it too. All right.
We'll go to Subway. Steph Curry, please make me a meatball.
Not me. I was letting you go, and then I look up and I see your brother, and your brother's like, I've gotta unpause myself. I'm so sorry.
It's thing one and two. That's what's going on. Thing one provokes thing two over there. But the version that we know of him from the comics and how he looks, you still got that, but in a very stylized, representative way. And I loved every bit of it. Every single bit of it.
He also officially mentions that, hey, I am a mutant.
He said it. It felt so good to hear in a movie. Oh my God. I've missed that so much, guys.
And much like in the comics, like in Marvel, like they established it in like the 70s where like Namor is the first mutant. And they established it a little bit more in this because he's like 500 years old. So. Mm-hmm.
Which is again why when we were down in his homeland and Shuri was wearing those outfits, I was like, well, this can't work because he's just said that he's like a million years old. So it's not gonna work, guys. I don't know. That's why I circled back to the mom. That's why I circled back to Queen Ramonda. I was like, well, Courtney, that's, I mean, maybe
it's a small man, a small price to pay for fishman cheeks, apparently.
He's fine as shit. Y'all are playing several games.
Listen, I want to play tic tac toe.
She said, "I love fish sticks."
You know what's up. She gets it.
And then the last thing for me that I really really liked was the big fuck you to colonizers from both sides. I think that especially in today's climate where we as people of color are consistently told to get over it, it's in the past, get over it, to see such a clear representation of exactly what it is that colonizing countries do to third world countries. And it's still happening today because that whole like covert shit the French try to pull off, the U.S. government does shit like that all of the time. Mm-hmm. All of the time.
Sidebar, they circled back and kept doing it. So what he did in the UN, they didn't care.
That's what Lake Bell, who hilarious was in, this is her live action MCU. She also plays the voice on What If. She always does the voice of Black Widow. but she also does the voice of Poison Ivy on the Harley Quinn show. This is the first time she's been in a live action MCU show, and they in
first
movie,
and last,
they, yeah,
grand opening, they grand closing,
straight up killed her off. And I was like, oh,
bye, girl.
I like Lake Bell, but okay, well, that's what you get for being a colonizer. Get out that man's water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had to think about really who you were talking about. I completely forgot he tore that tanker all the way up. When that helicopter got like, spinning around,
we're free. Get out of here! Right. And he's like, "Nope, not today."
No, no, no.
That was lovely. She was like, "Ah," and then he was like, "It looks
gravitational
like we're being
pulled
back." And she's like, "What?"
Good try, though.
Oh, listen, God, everything they deserved. Everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's just, there's so much to like about this movie, mm-hmm. so much. But we need to talk about some of the things that we didn't like. So does anybody have anything that they didn't like?
Ooh,
Maneer?
But I'll let Maneer.
All right, well,
first.
We're going to go with Maneer first, because that's not a hand I expected.
My bugaboo was the bugaboo for Eric, because I did know that Michaela Cole was in here and she wanted to be in here as a queer character to show queerness in the community. The little bit that we got, I didn't appreciate. And that's coming from a hetero. I didn't appreciate it at all. I wanted more. I wanted something. That's why I'm hoping that they'll be giving us something in the future, but I want it more than, again, like Eric said, that's why I told you not to bring them, and then the kiss on the head. I want it more than that. I do apologize. I know that there was a lot going on, but I want it more.
Yeah.
And
I don't know.
That's really all.
I feel like if they did shoot more, maybe it hit the cutting room floor just to for time's sake, because again, the movie clocks in at 2 hours and 41 minutes. But at the same time, I feel like maybe that's and one of my big issues was that the Everett Ross stuff. I feel like it didn't need to be here at all. And just having the character in the movie was a nice callback for the first movie. But at the same time, I feel like that might be between that and Michaela Cole's character's story. Those are little things. They're setting up little pieces for this eventual show that might happen.
I think the Everett Ross stuff is for Phase 5. I think that's going to be a little bit. I think that was very important, because without him, we wouldn't know that Valentina is as high as she fucking is. I
really
also want to ask, but I want to ask what?
I didn't really care about her character. I felt like if it would have been too much like in Captain America and the Winter Soldier, like maybe they bring back one of those characters. Like maybe we see U.S. Agent pop up for something that would have. I don't know. Maybe add a little bit more validity to the character being in the movie.
I think she's way more important than you guys.
I don't feel like her importance needed to be established in this movie. You know what I mean?
I feel like it might, mainly because we've seen her touch just about everybody that's going to be in the Thunderbolts, and we still don't know what the Thunderbolts are actually after. Giving us what they're after.
Yeah, I think they even confirmed that she is the leader of the Thunderbolts when they did the, mm-hmm. the
right. So I'm saying, like, I think that they're giving us breadcrumbs to what they are after, and I think vibranium is what they're after, because she got a fucking hard on for fucking vibranium.
Everyone does. The whole world vibranium. Does. Yeah.
So I think the reason that she was here is to give us the breadcrumbs for that.
There's a couple of breadcrumbs, but at the same time, they don't feel like they were particularly important. To the story. And again, there was so much other things going on that like his little, you know, C-plot story didn't really matter to me. It's not bad. I don't feel like it was that important. Because again, also like having Okoye rescue him at the end, it just didn't seem that important. But again, I could be wrong and this could be building up to something bigger later. But in the meantime, I'm just like, okay. Like I said, it doesn't bring the movie down at all. It's just something that I could have taken or left. You know what I mean?
Look at Eric being like, let's get all the whites out of this movie. Am I right?
I mean, well,
it's giving very much Caucasians to the back.
This is more of a pro than a con. I'm glad that the rumors of like Dr. Doom being the actual big bad were kind of put to bed. I know we are getting Dr. Doom later, but like my main thing going into this was that I don't want it to be just the Africans and Mexicans fighting each other, because that seems mm-hmm. kind of fucked up. But at the same time, mm-hmm. the way that they justified why they are fighting each other, mm-hmm. because A, it is Shuri now being the lead of this country and still dealing with unprocessed grief, but also Namor doing what T'Challa did for his people and putting his people above everything, willing to fight the whole goddamn world just to protect his people. And I was like, yeah, that's like he's being the honorable leader that you want him to be. And even in the end, when he kind of comes to his, you know, to the conclusion after he fights Shuri, where he's like, this is the best for our people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of a shitty deal for him. But like, and I'm sure we'll get more into that later if they do a sequel or if we see Namor later on. But I feel like they justified why they're fighting and why you don't need this, you know. He didn't need to be the red herring for a bigger bad guy. Even though technically you still have Valentina as the bigger bad guy or the person putting together more strings. I feel like we're going to see her more in Secret Invasion. Those were my Well, that and Bugaboos. Just generally killing off Angela Bassett's character. I don't think it needed to happen. And it's one of those things where, like, you guys might not remember it because you've probably only seen it once. They basically did the same thing with Rene Russo in Thor: The Dark World, where, like,
mm-hmm. I remember that's where Mama Thor dies.
Yeah, but I know everyone hates Thor: The Dark World and doesn't want to talk about it. But they do this thing where, like, for a character to advance, you have to kill off their main support system, and I don't feel like that needed to be done, especially with Angela Bassett. Like, I understand they made it a heroic moment and she saves Riri Williams, but I don't know. It's a Disney thing in general where they kill off the parents as like plot armor, and Angela Bassett is too good to die like that. Yeah.
Well, she's too good, but also it is cheap. I think that any time that's the motivation for a character, you know, like when you're watching the whole hero's journey, thought process and like storytelling or whatever, like you don't always have to kill someone off for someone to advance. And for whatever reason, in a lot of these movies, they always kill someone off to get somebody to be like, no, I've got to do the right thing.
It's not like when they killed off Coulson and then they brought him back, but they don't really acknowledge it. Where like his death motivated the Avengers to come together. Like, no, you had all of these reasons for Shuri to like to get her shit together, but at the same time you could have killed off someone else. As much as I love M'Baku, if you would have killed off M'Baku or like Okoye, I feel like it would have had just as much emotional resonance without straight up just leaving her an orphan. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And again, that's just very nitpicky and it's a trope that I'm not a fan of, but it happens.
I do not like that struggle wig that they put on
Angela Bassett's head.
Well, no, not that one. I'm talking about Miss Valentina. That weird wig that they had with the purple streak. That struggle ass wig, like, what are you doing? It looks fucking terrible. So that's my biggest complaint, was her wig.
I am more than happy with them devoting the costume designers and makeup artists to like everyone else but the white people. So
everyone else looked amazing.
Again, whites to the back for Eric.
Yeah.
Back of the bus, honkies.
Oh my gosh. It
looks good in pictures. I'm looking at her Instagram and she's got a picture with her and Ryan Coogler. It looks nice in the picture.
Yeah, but you know, when she was getting out that car,
the hair looked
great. That hair was not moving, she looked fucking ridiculous.
My hair? I'm just going to don't move.
Right. Now, those blue fish people, they looked amazing.
They looked fantastic.
All of them. But no, the only other thing that I really didn't like outside of her wig was just the fact that I get why we have to have the black and the brown people be at odds, but I really, really, really didn't want the black and the brown people to be at odds.
It wasn't great. It hurt my feelings because I couldn't root for anybody. I was like, well, I don't really want anybody to win because Why are we? The white people are right there, guys.
Well,
right,
no, they literally they explained it away with like Shuri holding the secret. She was like, "Yeah, the white man's not gonna know that you that I forget the name of the city.
Talokan.
Talokan. Yeah, they're like, yeah, no, we're not gonna tell the honkies about your special fish people place. Like, we will protect your secret, just like we were hidden."
You're a little
disrespectful.
He's so happy to say it. Like, do you hear it? He's saying that little old space. Like, they did not come through that bitch riding fucking killer whales, my guy. Like,
no.
Fab, like,
no, no. I mean, we will not tell the Caucasians will not know of your sacred lands.
They won't know because of us. Let me just tell you that.
Mouth is shut. Locked tight. Also, if there's one thing Wakanda knows, it's how to keep a secret.
Get the fuck out of Wakanda. Right. That's what we need.
Get them out of here.
Yeah, they was out there killing little kids like that. I ain't like that.
Listen, they had no problem. They're like, y'all are just fish eaters to us anyway. We'll kill all y'all. So
the one thing they did not explain, and I like, I'm pretty sure if you watch it a second time, you'll piece it together yourself. Why, when Okoye like killed like three of them on the bridge, they got right back up. They never explained that for the general audience.
I still don't understand.
It's because those were the originals.
Like, I was like, well, maybe because they didn't get to the water. So I was like, well, I don't understand. Because she, like she said,
no.
It's the blows.
Those are the originals. Like, you remember when they're like, everyone took the special herb.
Oh, so do you think
those
maybe
are
it's...
the originals are like basically immortal. Whereas why when Nakia shot the other one, she died. And while several of them died during the battle at the end. Yeah. It's because those are like the first ones.
The original. And that's why the gentleman that was fighting, that was after Lake Bell, he took those bullets. Cause I was like, well, she's not a very good shot if she's just hitting his vibranium. But then she was a good shot. It was just he's an original. Okay. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Okay. All
right. Courtney.
Mm-hmm.
You have anything you weren't feeling?
Maybe it's just my ignorance, but like I feel like it probably is, and I don't want to say it because I feel like it makes me sound dumb. So no,
honey, you just say it. This is a cone of silence, right? Say it.
Cone of internet.
I don't think that's how.
It's literally a cone of internet, but that's fine. I feel like I do need a big bad. I think that I don't like that there's not a clear one. And I think grief can be the theme, but to me, it doesn't make sense to me unless I know exactly what we're fighting toward. Like, how does this, like...
It's not a dumb question. The big bad is the white man. Geopolitics, if you don't want to, like, lump it in with just all of Caucasia.
But, like, in relation to everything else we've gotten so far, like, how does this relate to Kang? Like, to me, it doesn't really make sense to me. Like, I think that's where I feel like I don't understand.
Can I answer that?
Sure.
Yeah.
To me, it relates to Kang as us not being a full team. Like, I came out of the second movie thinking, I don't really trust our people to actually be in their right minds to fight Kang.
Well, that and you don't have an Avengers. The Avengers are not a thing right now.
Right. I don't feel safe. I don't feel like we're going to be able to
take
Kang.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like we're going to get a lot of L's when he comes. I feel like there's going to be a lot of deaths.
Is basically,
when he comes.
Yeah. Phase five is kind of like the rebuilding phase. Yeah. Phase four, is definitely the grief and processing. Phase five has to be the rebuild because Kang Dynasty is like the end of phase five. It's finally an official Avengers movie because we didn't have an Avengers movie in phase four. And then phase six will be leading up to Doom and Secret Wars and all of that, which I think if they kill Kang and Kang Dynasty, we'll see him again in Secret Wars.
Right. That's what it feels like to me, that I don't feel safe. I don't feel safe with any of these people going into war against a big bad like Kang.
And then I guess I don't know, like, okay, is there a future to the Black Panther as, like, a franchise? Like, at this point, there is no Black Panther. Correct me if I'm wrong. No, we've got a Black Panther.
Yeah, no, Shuri is the Black Panther officially.
She was acting like she really wanted to do this. Because to me, it felt like she didn't want to.
But here's the thing. She could technically, if she wanted to, she could continue to be the protector of Wakanda as a Black Panther and allow someone else to rule Wakanda. Right. Because you got to think about it. Like, even when we first met T'Challa, he was already the Black Panther, but his dad was still the king. He wasn't the ruler. Okay. So to your point, I get the same vibe. Like, in my mind, I think that what happens is we get M'Baku ruling Wakanda, but Shuri is still just the Black Panther. Because she has no interest in ruling. Like, she just doesn't. But she does like whooping ass in that suit, though.
Is that why? I guess that's why we had the ending that we did when Shuri didn't come down the wall, down to the waterfall, but M'Baku did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, also, like they finally had to put the nail in the coffin that she is, you know, for lack of a better term, she's finally processing her grief. Mm-hmm. Which I feel like was also one last like gut punch to the audience. Not to mention the post-credit gut punch to the audience.
I'll say, now that baby was the whole last. I was so upset.
I said, well, I thought I had made it like through the end. And I was like, all right, well, like I only cried a little bit. Like this feels like I did okay. Like I cried at the parts that I was supposed to cry at. And I think this is great. Like, and then boo.
And he was like, that's my Haitian name.
But my real name. Oh no. I looked at my sister and just said, oh no. We had like six Kleenex to split between the three of us.
He's adorable.
He said, thanks. I mean, your name's cool too, I guess. And then that little giggle. Give me like my ovaries. They were just like exploding everywhere.
He has very much, do you have any games on your phone energy? And it was so cute.
or the I like eating that too.
Too, right.
I like chips.
Can I toast?
Why are kids like that?
You're fucking terrorists. Oh god,
she had the cutest little baby. Him and baby Namor. That little face, and then he cocked his little eyebrow. He's like, I'm gonna kill these people. What the fuck is going on here? Are we in fucking ropes? Absolutely not.
Like, why are you making these people do work? What is going on here?
It was confusion all around.
Kill them. Kill them.
Get these fools.
It was the priest using what little last bit of energy he had left to curse the baby. And he said, you know what? This works for me.
Yeah, fuck them colonizing priests too. They were just as bad.
All right. Well, I know that we've got some grab bag stuff, but before we get into that, I want to kind of get some final thoughts, get a rating. I feel like I already know how this is going to go. But as our listeners know, we rate every movie. So let's go around the table. How are you guys rating this? Courtney, I'm going to start with you.
Five. I said five.
That's it. Just five.
Yeah. Five.
That's it.
Right, I doubled down. I said five.
Right.
Say what I said. Right.
I thought somebody couldn't hear me. Yeah.
Five.
Sorry.
All right, Eric.
4.5. Just for
it's those white people. It's those white people.
The few gripes that I had, and then of course, just some like tiny little gripes like that, and the what was it? They used the appropriate name, but I felt like the story kind of got overlooked just because
Midnight Angels
armor. Yeah, the Midnight Angels. They have a much more in-depth story in, again, the Ta-Nehisi Coates run. But I feel like they were like, oh, let's sneak that in and make it an extra thing.
Yeah.
And look cool. The characters do look cool, but I felt like that, like, why not just make a whole bunch of these to fight the Ta-Nehisi?
It was giving Avatar.
Yeah. 4.5 on that. But yeah, it's a solid 4.5.
I'm also going to go not 5, but I'm going to go a 4.75.
That's not how it works.
So, okay, well, fuck it then. I got to give it a 4.5. The few little things for me that kept it from being a perfect movie are, again, I couldn't get over the fact that you give me all of this beautiful brown and black love and then you make them fight each other. And that still kind of doesn't sit with me. Also, I feel like some of the cinematography was good. There were some shots that I think that could have been taken differently. There were a few of the costuming choices that I was like, eh. So I'm being very, very nitpicky to get to my 4.5 because this could easily be a 5 and I want to be very clear about that. But yeah, I think it was definitely better than the first one. I guess I got to give it a 5 because I gave the first one a 4.5 and I definitely think this is better than the first one. So yeah, I'm a 5.2. Take everything I just said back. It's all a lie. It's a 5.
You think this is better than the first one? Manir, do you think this is better than the first one?
Yes.
Do you? Okay.
I will just stand by my convictions then.
Yes. I do. You wanted me to change? Nah.
I don't really need anybody to change. 4.75. I'm just curious. Mm-mm.
You said no, the way you said you do? It was like,
yeah, because I just think that the first one is a better movie to me.
She was gonna add a little, oh bless you.
Right, like no, with my fucking chest, I think this is better than the first one.
Yeah, for sure.
It's very much like the tone of the films are completely different. Like the first one absolutely felt like a celebration, mm-hmm, and this one felt like making the best of a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. I think the first one's better for me personally.
And you can have that. Yeah, no one's saying that it can't be. Like, both of these are amazing movies.
Did I say I was fighting?
Prefer that one to the one that Maria and Manira prefer.
I just wanted to see what everybody else thought. I didn't know that was a question. I don't know.
It's a controversial opinion. Giving off a whole lot of fuck around and find out, come fight me energy. Right now. Courtney, what is going on?
No fighting.
She ain't fighting nobody but them nachos. Yeah.
I don't even have any left. Is it because I said that you're from Upper Marlboro and you don't have any pride in your town?
He's been holding that in for a while.
Because when we started this, you had a handful of nachos and you were going at him like a badger.
You're not being nice to that. Now you're being mean.
All right. So with that, guys, obviously we love it. Go see it. But before we wrap, we do have a grab bag. So once Manira finishes cackling over Courtney's nachos, that shit was funny.
I do have a grab bag. I have a bone to pick with Snaptivating. This was long as hell. Like, you did a PDF, a Google Doc, if you will. And so I thought that we would break it up to what is relevant in this show and then do the rest of it, or break those up as well to what is important in different shows, if that would be okay with you. And you're not here to answer that, so I'm going to take it as a yes. Okay, so...
As a what?
What is up with your guy over here in this hat? What is he doing?
I didn't even see it! I'm looking at something else! What the fuck are you doing?
Ray J, please.
He had it cocked to the side a second ago, and I'm just like, Ray J, why are you tapping into our ancestors from the Bronx? Like, what is going on, Eric?
Just waiting to hear this, you know, waiting to hear this letter.
Ray J, is that you? Are you Brandy's brother?
Okay, so we're starting from, it says, what did he do now? Not backwards. It is called Spoilers. Okay, so as of November 12th, 2022, I've seen Black Panther for Wakanda Forever 3 times. I'm almost there with you. One advanced screening on the 9th, we didn't get an invite, so that was great, was lucky enough to get tickets, and twice at Next Action Cinema. More on Next, what?
I had an invite, but I didn't want to see it without everyone.
Well, that's nice of you, but also maybe put the family on next time.
It's not one of those things where I can bring 7 people. It was just like, yeah.
Bring the 3 of us. Fuck everybody else.
You can bring the 3 of us.
No, you can't. Sometimes you get 1 if you're lucky. I thought you guys would be happy that I didn't like leave you guys.
Yeah, I just said thank you.
We're gonna circle back. We'll circle back. Don't worry.
I'm the asshole for not leaving.
We'll circle
out
back.
Here he goes. Here he goes.
7 hats. All right. More on Next Action Cinema later. Let's jump Right to spoilers. Well, kind of, but not really. Okay. The overall theme was amazing. Was the theme vengeance, grief, or both? Depends on who you are. The pacing was perfect. It was. You have those intense moments punctuated by jokes, M'Baku, which I believe gave the audience time to relax and breathe, very much so. Now, Maria.
And the jokes didn't feel forced.
Correct. Maria, this is directed towards you. I was with you on not wanting to see black and brown people fight one another, but Coogler... like I know him, sorry. Ryan Coogler, once again, does a wonderful job mixing real world issues with fiction.
He did.
Ryan Coogler.
Did you want to say anything else or?
No. Okay. He's absolutely right. It's still like, listen, I can bitch about it, but it was done so well. Can I really bitch about it? So.
Coogler said, you take what I give you, Buster.
Pretty much.
Let me mute myself.
E40, I mean, Eric, this is directed towards you. We didn't get Dr. Doom, but got a villain none of us expected. Would you like to rebuttal?
The white man is the villain we all expected.
Very true.
Yeah, no, I'm happy we didn't get Dr. Doom because I feel like he, you know, I can see where they could have made the case for Dr. Doom, but I'm glad they didn't force it in there. We had enough going on.
Yeah, 100%. And this is directed towards me. We were thrust into mourning period, but... told and shown how to celebrate life. So let's do that. Very true. Very, very true indeed. Now, New Orleans and the celebration of life. A few months back, Black Twitter shared videos from funerals in New Orleans. We witnessed people playing music, dancing, and what looked like a party with a casket. Very true. With a few Black historians providing context on how our ancestors celebrated life. I let the burial scene remind me celebrated to joy that one brings into our life. Did I read that right?
And you're the one reading it, so.
Yeah, I'm about to say I don't know.
No. I'm rereading it. I'm sorry. Oh, okay. Sorry. I'm just trying to make sure that I read it right. I did. Sorry. No. I said that part out loud, and I didn't mean to. I apologize. I too am sleepy. I don't believe in spoiling things for others. We do. I'm a video game troll, so I can't say that.
Yeah, but we give
face.
Plenty of warning. We're not just out here.
And like, a song, apparently.
Yeah, we're not out on Twitter being like, oh my God, you see Michael B. Jordan back in this? Mm-hmm. Like, we gave you a whole last minute, and like, we gave you like 20 minutes of a spoiler-free review. And then we warned you.
You look so good with the song. I do my best. I'm so sorry. I'm done.
I do my best to stop people from getting achievements. So let me say this, and I won't spoil Black Panther Wakanda Forever for you. I will suggest you watch it I will suggest you watch it more than once. I suggest that as well. That's mm-hmm. very true.
Yeah, no, I would have seen it a second time already. I just had a very busy weekend.
Samesies.
And that is the end of that. And that is the end of the Black Panther
awesome
portion. So,
well, so thank you for writing in.
Yes, 100%.
You know, all valid points, and we loved it as well. So,
and what we'll cover the rest of the next episode.
Yeah, the rest of
yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
man wrote a book report.
I know, and that's what you didn't listen to me. You were too busy with that fucking ad.
Okay, but here's the thing. In fairness, it's been way past due because he. Snaptivating is the homie. He loves us. And he's always sending us little things, but he's never physically written into the show. So I am happy that he did it. Thank you for doing
it. We appreciate you.
We do. And as we kind of wrap this up, we want to give you a little bit of production news. On Cup and Saucer, Manera continues the gang's coverage of Netflix's Heartstopper episodes 5 and 6. On Imperial Dispatch, we're finally going to be doing our breakdown of Andor episodes 7 through 10.
Nobody cares because nobody's watching Andor except for us.
Oh, 7 through 9? Yes. Wait, is no one watching it but us?
I have not heard anybody really talking about it, which is wild.
Fucking good.
So good.
It doesn't have a huge buzz, but I feel like it's one of those things that, like, once it's over, if it sticks the landing, then, like, the problem is Andor is so grounded that, like, the people who are like, well, where are the lightsabers and the Jedi? Like, shut up. Shut up and take what you got. It doesn't all have to be space wizards and laser swords.
Right. This is the best Star Wars that I've seen.
Yeah, no, this is legit probably the best Star Wars that they've made outside of like The Mandalorian.
Yeah. In a decade. I absolutely
shut up and take what you got and thank them for it so that they make more.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, come and join us on that journey of a prison break, because that's pretty much what we're going to be talking about.
Oh, God!
So fucking good.
Surprise Andy Serkis.
Yeah.
Being a little
Claw does make an appearance. Claw's like, what? I can get Marvel money anytime I want.
Yeah. Right.
He's a tiny little angry man.
He's so great. So guys, with that, as always, we always want to hear your thoughts. We love to hear your thoughts. You know, if you've watched the movie, you've listened to our review, you think that we're off base or on base or what have you, let us know. And you can do that by doing what Snaptivating did and send us an email. You can do that to our email address, which is concentratedpodcast@gmail.com. Or you can drop us a message on our Facebook page, which is Concentrated Podcast. Or you can message us and follow us on both Twitter and Instagram. I don't know how long we'll be on Twitter, given the current state of things, but we're still on Instagram and Twitter right now.
Or if some verified user is posing as us because they paid the $8.
Yeah. Oof. That's a whole nother.
Treat us kind.
Right. But our handle on both is @ConcentratedPod. So definitely reach out. We'd love to hear from you. And until we talk to you guys again, go fucking see Wakanda Forever. And if you've already seen it, go see it again.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, good luck getting tickets, because them bitches be sold out. I had to scour.
That's a good thing. Like, you can honestly say we showed up, just like with the first one.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Black and brown people showed up. Mm-hmm. And they brought a white friend.
I saw a lot of white people taking those
seats.
Oh,
my God, Eric.
So they want to see what's
Eric
up.
Eric and Kayla were sitting next to each other, and I guess this little, like, mixed, like, friend group, they started hugging each other at the end, and they
two
both
white
looked
men
at
got
each other.
And hugged each other. And I literally, I leaned over to Kayla. I was like, what the fuck are you honking about? What are you hugging about?
They felt really tired at the end of that representation.
They were excited to be invited to the cookout. Let them have their moment, all right? All right, guys. Well, with that, we'll talk to you guys next week.
Oh,
bye,
my God,
everybody.
Did you know there's cornbread? Wow. What will they think of next?
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Peace. Wakanda forever.